but hey, we're winging it today. So if you need a Bible this morning, you can grab one out of the back. We are in 2 Corinthians. We have turned the page, or turned the letter, if you will, from 1 Corinthians into 2. So 1 Corinthians was all about this division, these problems in the church. Paul writes this letter on how to deal with those. They responded. They responded, and in 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing back in their response. He had received a report from Timothy saying, hey, they listened. It's a miracle when people listen, because when we listen to what God has to say, that's when things actually start to work in our lives. And so Paul, in that response, is writing 2 Corinthians. Now, there's another set of issues, and it's not necessarily division with the church. It's just issues within the Christian life. Now, maybe you thought that when you gave your life to the Lord, because maybe you were told this, that all of your problems would go away, that Jesus is the answer. Have you ever seen that sign? Or the old traditional signs at the missions, Jesus saves. And they do, but sometimes when we hear that or when we see that, we interpret that incorrectly. We think, oh, Jesus is going to save me from my current problem. Jesus is going to save me from my circumstances, and he's going to make all of these things go away, and I'm not going to have any more pain. I'm not going to have any more suffering. In fact, I want the best life ever, the most prosperous life ever, and when I give my life to the Lord, man, it's going to be great. And then what happens? We give our lives to the Lord, and our lives fall apart. And they continue to fall apart. And we're like, wait a second. What in the world? Where's this saving thing? Where's this comfort? Where's this blessing thing I was told? Oh, well, maybe it's because you're not really a good Christian. Because if you read your Bible more, if you went to church more, or if you prayed more, or if you, here it comes, if you give more, God will bless you more. Now, the giving part, that is Scripture. God says, if you want blessing, test me in this. But that's a totally different topic, and that's taken out of context so many times that I don't want you to misinterpret that this morning. But what happens is then we start to get into this struggle. And maybe we're not even told that. Maybe that's just what the enemy says to us. Well, you know what? If you would put down that addiction, if you would stop sinning, if you would just try harder, then God would bless you. And so what do? We try harder. And guess what? It gets worse. It still doesn't work. And that's where a lot of people just throw their hands in the air and say, well, forget it. It's easier to not be a Christian. Have you ever heard someone tell you that? I have. Man, I didn't know that my life was going to get so hard. I'm better off the way I was before. There's no suffering. I wasn't having all these trials. I wasn't having all this extra weight to carry around. Everything was kind of going along just fine. And so, being a Christian, I've warned you guys many, many, many times. When we give our lives to the Lord, we don't enter into a playground. We enter into a battlefield. In fact, that's biblical. Ephesians tells us that. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, right? It's a spiritual battle. And why does the enemy want to take you out so much? Because you are a new creation. You are a citizen of heaven. You are an heir of God. You are a follower of Jesus. You are a light to a dark world. And when that happens, the enemy says, I want to shut you down. I want to turn off your light. I want to close your mouth, stop your testimony. I want to take away your witness, and I want to hurt you, because in hurting you, I hurt God. That's why we are attacked so much. Did you know that? So then the next question is okay, well then why does God allow that to happen? Why does God allow the enemy to beat us up? Maybe you're going through something, or you've gone through something traumatic in the past, and you're like, why did God allow that to happen? There's been lots of books written on why do good or bad things happen to good people. Why? In fact, we've been told numerous times in our lives, well, you guys are Christians. I thought nothing bad was supposed to happen to you. Well, in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 2 Corinthians, I forgot to turn the page. We spent so much time in 1 Corinthians. It's like a habit. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 11 is what we're going to cover. God is going to answer that question about suffering. In fact, we're going to see as we go through it that God allows suffering, even though it's a problem for man, it's going to allow us to grow in our faith, to grow in our testimony, to grow in our witness, to help us rise above temptation and ultimately death. No matter what it is, we always ask that question, why does this happening to me? Maybe you're in a situation today where your life is just, everywhere you look, it's a mess. And you're like, man, why me? Can this be distributed a little bit more? Why, God? I mean, and sometimes we look at other people's lives and we're like, man, they are taking a beating. Every aspect of their life seems to be crumbling. Their health, their relationships, their finances, their family, everything. It's just hitting them so hard. And it's like, why, God? Why? Well, we're going to see, first of all, that God is the Father of compassion. So, when we go through suffering, the opposite of that is what? Comfort and compassion. And so you can only see God as a comforter and with his compassion equal to the amount of suffering you have. Think about it for this way. If I am only suffering so much on a scale, this is going to be a very, very kind of big, you know, analogy here, or, you know, kind of a cumbersome one. So if I only suffer only on a scale 1 to 3, then I can only see God's comfort on a scale of 1 to 3. But if I suffer all the way down to 10, then I can see God's comfort all the way down to 10. The next thing we're going to see is God provides comfort equal to the suffering so that we would have a testimony to others who are suffering. If somebody's going to a 10, it's hard for them to relate to someone who has only gone to a 3. And so God takes us down so that we can be used by him to help comfort those who are struggling at the same level that we have struggled. We're going to see that God provides suffering to stir believers. We get complacent, don't we, church? The enemy, what does he want to do? He wants to rock us. He wants to lull us asleep. And so God sometimes allows suffering to come in to awaken us, to reignite us. A big example of that is right after 9/11, when all the churches became full again. And then after that kind of wore off, people went back to their normal lives. But there was a lot of suffering during that time, and it stirred a lot of believers. God uses suffering to teach trust. When God carries you through circumstances and situations, and you see that and you recognize that, we jump off the little step into his arms, then we're able to jump off of the 6-foot step, then the 10-foot, and then the 20-foot. Why? Because just like little Sophia, oh, granddad's down there. I got it. He's got me. I trust him because I've never dropped her. Every time she has jumped, I've caught her. She trusted me. And God uses suffering to help build that trust in you and I. The next thing, God uses trust to teach us prayer and thanksgiving. When God carries you through, what do? You praise him. You are thankful to him. All right, so that's the brief outline. let's grab our Bibles and let's open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or, if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, you also will partake in the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivers us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. So we see right off the bat there that, first of all, blessed. What do we know that word to be? That means to be happy, right? Right? How can you be happy through comfort or through suffering? Excuse me. It's easy to be happy through comfort. How's it going? Oh, it's great. So happy. You can see it in people's faces. But when they're going through a struggle, hey, how's it going? Great. Really? Your face is telling me something else. You can tell. You can read it on people. But how can you be happy? Well, it tells us right there, blessed be your happiness be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, right here he's saying, happy is God of the Lord. Now, if we think of that for just a moment, who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about the Father. And so the Father is happy, blessed, of being the Lord and the Father of Jesus. Now, what does that have to do with suffering? Well, we must understand who Jesus was and what Jesus went through. First of all, he's going to paint that picture that you're not alone. That in your suffering and in your pain, it's not like God is up there going, well, I just hope the best for you. I think you can do it. Right? No, we understand through Hebrews that we have a high priest who is able to help us through those situations because he himself, the high priest being Jesus Christ, went through similar things. Well, it's hard for us to relate sometimes because you talk to a teenager and you're like, well, Jesus didn't have his cell phone taken and I'm suffering so much. Jesus didn't lose his car. Jesus didn't lose his house. Well, yes, that's true. But we got to look at the principle. We don't look at the actual things that Jesus did or didn't lose. And when we look at the principles of it, we see that we do have a high priest who can relate with us. I mean, after all, we just look at the attributes of Jesus. And we are told that there was nothing given to him to help him advance. And I'm talking about just, you know, I'm not quoting here. I'm just kind of rephrasing it. But nothing that would advance him or his ministry. Sometimes we look at people and we're like, oh, well, there's no, that's obvious why you have such a great ministry. I mean, look, you got good looks. You can speak eloquently. You came up from a good family. Maybe your dad was a very popular, had a big church, and you just kind of stepped into that role. I was watching somebody last night on YouTube, and this guy goes around And he's like, okay, pastor's kids who can't preach. And he goes through all these churches where the pastor has retired or passed away or whatever, and their sons step into the ministry, and it's a train wreck. Because they think, oh, well, my dad, was the guy here at the church, and I raised up with the family, so I'm going to be able to step right into that role. And it's like, no. No, unless God has equipped you, unless God has gifted you, unless God has called you for that, no. And he has all these videos, and it's humorsome, but it's actually pretty sad. Because people are going in on their, who they are, on their family, or whatever they've been set up. And so right there, we know, Jesus wasn't set up. In fact, everything was put against him. We can go through the list and we can see that, God was born, Jesus was born to an unwed mother. And in that time, maybe it's a little more acceptable now, but in that time, that was a bad thing. Bad thing. We know that he was born in the Ritz-Carlton, right? Because there was room for him there. No! He was born in a stable among animals, in a feeding trough. One of the worst conditions you could ever be born in, right? I mean, at least maybe it's a little bit more sanitary outside of the horse corral. He was born to poor parents. They didn't have anything. His life was threatened as a baby. What happened as soon as he was born? The wise men were looking for him. And Herod's like, oh, no, you don't. Kill them all. Kill them. He was hunted as a baby. He was the cause, Matthew 2:16, of unimaginable sorrow. Because of his birth, all those other babies were killed. And it says the women cried out because of him. As a baby, being hunted by Herod, he had to move. Went to Egypt, moved around, shifted around to hide. Then he ended up in the best place you can imagine, Nazareth. Oh, don't think Nazareth was very good. Can anything good come from Nazareth? The night before last, we came home. We ran into a storm, so we got home at like 5 a.m. We drove all night. We're supposed to be here, that evening. And I don't know, about 3 o'clock or so, we hit Pueblo. And I'm from Pueblo. And we're like, went into a 7-Eleven, and there's just all these meth people on the corner and going in. And then we go to another place because they, the bathroom, they wouldn't let anybody in the bathroom, and I can understand why. And so we went to another place, and it was just, I'm like, man. I used to joke, it's like, hey, I'm from the armpit of Colorado. I'm like, yeah, I think it's worse now. Nasty place, right? And that's Nazareth. That's where he was, that's where he grew up. Then his father died when he was young. So he was just a youngster when his father died. He had to support his mother and his brothers, being the oldest. We're told that he had no home to lay his head on. He didn't have a place to live. He was hated and opposed by what would be the religious community. God was hated by the religious people. God was hated by the church. And I don't mean church, you know what I mean, the Jews at that time. But it's equivalent to the church. You know that song, My Jesus, I don't know if you've ever heard of it from Todd Agnew, but I love that song because it says, if my Jesus came into this church, would we accept him? Because his feet are bloody and muddy, and they might mess up the carpet. We get so worried about this stuff. But Jesus, man, he was hated by those who supposedly represented God. He was charged with insanity, according to Mark 3:21. He was accused of being demon-possessed. His own family rejected him. He was rejected and hated and opposed by those that one time followed him. As long as the food was coming, things were good. And then they all turned on him. Even at the cross, how many were there of his disciples? One. He was betrayed by a close friend, someone who swore to protect him till the end. When it got tough, he says, "I don't know him," three times. We already spoke about it, but he was rejected by all of his friends. He was tried before the high court of the land and was accused of treason against his own people. And he was executed by crucifixion. And some will argue, even to today, it is the worst possible death. And so Jesus is who is relating with us. That's what he went through. And so when we're going through our situation, no matter what it is, right there in verse 3, we see, "Blessed or happy is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father," not God, but notice that, "the Father of mercies." So when you look at God and you see that word God, you kind of have a different attitude towards it, right? God is kind of Lord, the over, the end all, say all. He's the God of it. And then when you hear the word Father, it's a little different tone, right? It's more of a family. It's more of an enduring kind of relationship versus the God relationship. But it's interesting that when Paul chooses to use God or Father, he chooses the word Father of mercies. So he understands it from a fatherly perspective, just like you would looking at your child when your child is going through things. That's how he extends out his mercies. This is a great thing to look at. So wherever you're going through today, why are you doing this to me, God? Maybe go, "Why is this happening to me, Father?" And just that little prayer right there and the way you address him could help change your perspective of the situation, because he is the Father of the mercies that he gives to you and the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforts us all in our tribulations. Who comforts us in all. I misspoke there. So note that word all. It didn't say some or a few. He comforts us in all of our trip. What are you going through? Sometimes we think, "Oh, God's too busy. God doesn't care about what I'm going through. This is just a little matter." You know, we even have that attitude towards ourselves, right? "Hey, how you doing today?" "Oh, I'm doing okay. You know, I just got this little issue, but it's no big deal." Well, it is a big deal to God. He cares so much about you that he knows every single hair on your head and when you lose one. In fact, some people will argue that's why Leviticus was written. Have you ever tried to read through Leviticus? It's hard, isn't it? It's a bunch of rules. And it's like, why is there a bunch of rules? And some people will argue from the legalistic standpoint is, well, this is what has to happen in order to usher in the Messiah and all that. And I get that. But also you can look at it from a different perspective. When you look at it from the Deuteronomy perspective, which is from the heart side, it's because God cares so much about you. Yes, we have rules. Yes, we have things that we are told not to do out of love. Well, I'm going to give my kids freedom. I'm not going to put any rules against them. I'm just going to let them run wild. But then you really don't love your kids. Because you know what? You want to put up safeguards. Hey, don't touch that hot stove. Well, who are you to tell me not to touch it? That's awfully mean. No, don't touch it because it will burn your stinking hand. No, you can't go play in the street. Why? There's cars out there who aren't paying attention. They're doing their makeup and reading their cell phones. And they're going to run you over. Oh, but I love my kid. I give them freedom to do whatever they want. Squish. Why did this happen to me? You guys understand the point, right? But you look at that, and he gives us comfort in all of our tribulation. Now, if you look at this word tribulation in the original, it's a heavy, heavy burden. It's like what they would put on like a mule or a beast of burden. They would load it with tribulation. Heavyweight. Heavyweight. And some of you can be like, yeah, I know, I get the feeling. Because man, this tribulation feels like a heavy weight. Walking around carrying something. It's a burden, isn't it? And then you deal with that burden and it's like, whew. Man, have you ever heard the saying, it feels like a ton of bricks have been taken off my back. Isn't it interesting how we just even talk through that? And you guys can relate, because if you've had that happen to you, you're like, man, that's a ton of bricks off my back. Because it's the tribulation has been taken off. The burden has been removed. But on the other side of that, that high priest that we were introduced to at the beginning here, who went through all these things, guess what he's doing? He is comforting you. Now, what does that word comfort mean? Comfort means it's to come alongside. And so now I've got this massive load, this massive tribulation, this massive burden, and I'm trying to carry it. Oh, man. And what does Jesus do? He comes alongside and he says, hey, I got this with you. And he carries it with you. See, comfort has two different meanings. One, you know, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to try to uplift you. But it also has the meaning of I'm going to support you. And I'm going to come and I'm going to help lift up that burden so that it's not so heavy. And then ultimately, one day, that burden's going to be taken off. Kind of a cool picture, huh? And so next time, or maybe right now, whatever you're going through, right? Maybe you can do this little mental picture. I have to do mental pictures because I'm simple-minded. And I'm like looking and I'm like, okay, I see this in my mind here and I'm like, oh, I got this load. And I look over and Jesus comes alongside me and helps me. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Now, I'm not getting crazy about it and having visions and seeing things. I'm not doing that. I'm just doing it a way for me that helps remind me that the Lord comes alongside. And I have to do that for me. Whatever works for you, just find it, right? It's kind of like the whole, I have a throne that I see in my heart, right? And it's sometimes I'm looking at it and I'm sitting up on that throne being like, yeah, life's good. And I have to visually see myself get up and say, okay, Lord, there you go. You know, simple things for me. But understand tribulation and comfort. Because now with those understandings of what it is, it helps us get through the process. And verse 4 continues on, and it says, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, what helps bear the load, that we may be able to now help bear the load of those who are in any trouble. So God takes us through things so that we can come alongside other believers to help them carry the load. Now, a lot of prayers are, take this load away from me. Right? Take it away. Lord, remove this from me. And the Lord doesn't. And now what do? Well, we start to go down that trail of, well, I'm not reading my Bible enough, or I'm not a good enough Christian, or I haven't gotten rid of my sin. Listen, that's a works-based salvation, and that's not biblical because God doesn't sit there and go, okay, I'm waiting for your positives so that I can come help take care of those negatives. You gotta kind of get points here. No, he doesn't do that, right? While we were still enemies, he died for us. So if we didn't earn the salvation, we do nothing to keep our salvation through the process of legalities. It's all through love. And so when we go through these things, maybe your prayer needs to change. Instead of, Lord, take this away from me, Lord, help me see you. Help me through this. Help me carrying this load, Lord. And I understand that maybe I'm going through these things so that I can come alongside. Listen, I can't go help somebody who has lost a child because I have never lost a child. But there's some that have. And now those people are able to come alongside you and go, hey, I've walked this path. I've done it. So now let me comfort you. Let me help you carry that load. And yes, God allows you to do that so that you can go help somebody, because we are the body of Christ. It's not that God's mad at you or that God is a mean God, but God is doing this. And then there'll be a day when you stand before him and he's going to say, hey, remember when this happened? Remember when you went through this trial and it was so hard, right? But then you went along somebody else who was going through that same trial. Here's your reward. And you're going to be, oh God, I couldn't have done it without you. Here it is back. Do you know the toughest thing that's ever happened in your life has already happened to you? Think about that for a moment. The toughest thing that you have ever gone through so far, you've already gone through. Well, what do you mean by that? That means the next toughest thing, you're going to be able to say that about that too. Right? Everything that's been so hard is in the past. And God has carried you through. And so whatever you're going into now, guess what? God will carry you through. God says, I promise you this, I will give you grace that's sufficient unto the day. If you try to forethink, okay, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, it's not going to work. Or you're sitting there going, I could never imagine going through that. Of course you can't. Because God gives you the grace that's sufficient unto the day. And no matter what you're going through, don't worry about tomorrow. Get through today. Say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your comfort. I need you to come alongside me. Help support this burden that I'm in right now. And guess what he will do? He will honor that. Because he's the Father of mercies. Continuing on, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. So, guess what? That's that whole, I'm going to level 10 in my suffering, but then the support, the comfort, the lifting up by God goes to level 10 too. I can only know him and his mercies as far as he's allowed me to go down. People who have a wonderful relationship, a deep relationship with God, are often those who have been taken way down. Down. And then other people are kind of riding the surface. But you can only know God as far as God has lifted you out of those sufferings that he's taking you into. So, know God. That I may know him. Philippians 3:10 is kind of our church's verse. That I may know him more. And you continue that verse. Through his sufferings. Being conformed. Even to death. That I may know him more. Listen, your goal for every day of life should be, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to know God more today. Now how do we know God? Well, there's various ways that you can know God. Romans 1:20 says we can know him through nature. We can see his invisible attributes. We can know him through reading the word, right? Hebrews. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. We can know him more by being allowed to take, being taken down through sufferings and tribulations. Now, I'm not advocating that we got to suffer for Jesus. I'm not saying that at all, because some people say, oh, you just want us to walk around and burden ourselves. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you're going through that, then you will know God deeper because of that situation. We know God by serving. We go out and we serve and we begin to know God in it from a different way. We know through fellowship. So as we fellowship with one another and we hear, oh my goodness, you're going through a huge trial, a huge tribulation. Well, I can know God more through your experience, through your trial and tribulation. We'll get to that. It's coming up. But that should be your goal every day, guys. How can I know God more today? How can I? Now, if we are afflicted, verse 6, it is for your consolation and salvation. So, what we're saying here is now, the more I go through these things with God, it stirs me more in my walk with God. It stirs me more. So, it awakens my faith. It grows my faith. I can only experience God through acts of faith and seeing, oh, he's there. Just like little Sophia. I didn't know Sophia's jump was going to turn into a sermon today, but that's kind of how life works for me. But she was able to jump from that. It was probably about 6 foot, wasn't it, Heidi? I don't know. From the water? Higher than that. It's when you're up there looking down, it's like a mile. I'm like, look at me, Heidi. I'm like, it's like 20 feet. She's like, yeah, it's like 12 inches. Maybe it was 8 foot. I don't know. But anyway, there's no way in the world she would have the confidence to jump without those little steps of faith along the way. And as we see God and allow him to work in our lives and allow him to work through these times of tribulation, heavy burden, it builds our faith. It's like going to the gym, right? You start off with that 5 pounds. Before long, that 5 pounds becomes easy. You pick up the 10. That becomes easy. Then you pick up the 15. However you walk in the gym, you try to pick up that 50, and you're like, oh, I can't even move it. But over the course of time, of you having the building up of that muscle, building up of that faith, you can eventually get there, and you're like, oh, hey, I can do this 50, like no problem. And that only comes through allowing God to work in your life and seeing him work with through these trials and tribulations. So that's another reason why God allows them to happen in our lives, to grow us. We get so mad at God for these things. God, why me? Why me? Can't you just give me a break? And all he's doing is taking us through a spiritual gym to strengthen our faith. And that, oh Lord, thank you. Thank you. Because I don't know about you, every time I go work out, it's like the anticipation. I hate it. Even doing it, it's like so horrible. But then afterwards, man, you feel like $1 million. You feel great. At the end of your trial, you feel great. You're like, man, we got through that. Maybe it wasn't the outcome that you wanted, but man, God was there. And now you're stronger. Verse 7, for our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that you are partakers of suffering, you will also be partakers of the consolation. It's kind of just reinforcing that. Hey, as God takes you down, he's there with you. He's a partaker of his grace and his mercies as well. Now, verse 8, he kind of changes because he's going to put this now personal. So notice the structure there. First, he started with who? He says, hey, listen, Jesus went through all these things. Jesus first was our example. He had all this happen to him. Now, this is happening to you. Okay? And now, verse 8, he's going to say, guess what, gang? It happens to us too. Because sometimes we get into this false thinking that, well, nothing ever happens to anybody else. Bill never seems to have anything happen to him, right? And that's simply not true. Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who was the super Christian, if you will, oh, nothing ever happened to Paul. He's like, man, he's got it figured out. Paul's going to be like, hey, don't be ignorant. Strong words, like, don't be stupid. Really? Don't be ignorant. For our troubles came to us in Asia. We were burdened beyond measure. Now, this is some strong language here. Burdened beyond measure. He says, man, you can't even imagine. Above strength, we even wanted to just die, is what he's saying. He was taken to the point where he just wanted to die. Have you ever been there? I mean, sometimes in our mind, we're like, yeah, I think I've been there. There was one time I was probably, I don't know, 10 or 12. We went to Mexico, and we did great, right? Except for one day, there was like this little guy, this little cart, you know, ice cream. And I was like, ooh, I want some of that. And so I got some. My mom got me some, and my stepsister had a little bite of it, and I ate the whole thing. I was so sick. I spent 3 days in the intensive care. They had no idea what I had. Still to this day, they're like, we had no idea. My parents had to iodine up to come into the room. They had to wear suits. Nobody knew. I was like, I wanted to die. I was hurting so bad. The only time really in my life, I was a kid, like, I'm done. Wanted to die. And my stepsister just got a little sick. She just had a little bite, but we narrowed it down. It must have been something with that yogurt, but man, I was so sick. Have you ever been there? And not necessarily with sickness, but just maybe in your life, you've just been, Paul's like, I was done. Ready to give up. Death was easier. Death was there. 9, he says, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We gave it to ourselves. And we should not trust ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So he's like, whatever, God, take it away. I don't care, but you're going to raise the dead. So even though he was to that point, Paul says, my faith went to God. He went there. Verse 10, who delivers us so great of a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he still will deliver us. So he's saying that, listen, my point, I was taken so far down, but it helped build my faith. And then he's going to conclude it with verse 11, you also helping together in prayer. So there's 2 points in here. One, other people go through things so that the body of Christ can come alongside them and pray for them. So I am witnessing what you're going through, and it also helps grow my faith, because as a part of the body of Christ, I'm going down that with you, but I am now stepping alongside you in prayer to help support it. So I am a witness to what you're going through, and I'm watching how the outcome comes. And so it's building those who are around you. I remember when Rebecca was, you know, when cancer and all this stuff was going on, I think it was one of the nurses stopped us in the hallway, and they're like, man, you guys are just, wow, I don't understand how you guys are going through this. Like you are. We're watching you. And we were there, and we're like, well, it's the Lord. Remember that conversation? It was in the basement there, kind of the hallways. Remember that, Heidi? It was in the basement there. So it was, but people are watching, and you go through things, and maybe we don't ever know what's going to happen, because that's God's deal with them. But who knows where they went from there? Maybe it was just a little seed that was planted, and they remembered it. And then at some point in their life, they're going to pull that back out, and it's going to help be part of their conversion. I don't know. That's between God and them. But we were a part of that. God uses things. As you're going through your situation and how you're handling it is a witness to other people. That's a big thing, because sometimes we don't handle it very good. And we throw that witness out the door. But we can fix it. Did you know that? If you mishandled something, you can fix it. You can say, hey, I got caught up in emotion that wasn't of the Lord, that was of the flesh, and I'm sorry. Sorry I did that. I've always told my family, I said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. That's important. It's how you finish. And so whatever you're going through, even if you've had a bad example of something and you didn't look very Christian, maybe the trial got so heavy, the burden got so heavy, and you weren't seeing Christ alongside you, and none of these things made sense to you, and you just lost it. You lost it. You have an opportunity to go back and say, hey, I was wrong in that. You know, that wasn't of the Lord. Forgive me. And then finish strong. And I'll tell you, that just might be a bigger witness, because people see you fall and then they see you get up and continue on. That might be a bigger witness. But Paul is saying, you guys came alongside me. You suffered with me. And then we end, because suffering helps lead us to prayer, which it led to prayer through the witnesses. And then it leads to thanksgiving, because after that burden has been lifted, you're like, thank you, Lord. Lord, you are good. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Verse 11 continues with that. You also helping together in prayer for us that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. The gift. What gift was it? The gift of the trial he went through. Isn't that interesting? Where's the gift? That don't sound like a stinking gift. So what are you going through today? No, you have a high priest that went through not the same thing, but similar, the same principle. In fact, he probably went through a lot more than you went through. You haven't been crucified yet. I mean, that list that we read off was pretty big. Know that you have a high priest. And that high priest is willing, ready, and able to come alongside you right now and help lift that burden. That's what that word comfort means, to comfort you. So whatever you're going through, first step, seek him. Lord, help me. Comfort me. Give me strength. The second thing is to walk through that with a godly perspective, keeping your eyes and your focus upon him, allowing others to come along and support you. Understand that you may be going through this to help support somebody else later. You may be going through this to stir your salvation. Maybe you've kind of gotten a little lackadaisical. Maybe you're going through this just to strengthen your faith. Maybe you're going through this to be a witness to somebody else. Maybe you're going through this to help increase your prayer and your thanksgiving and gratitude towards God. That's the gift. Because all of those things lead us into a closer relationship with God, a stronger relationship with God. And at the end of the day, that is his desire. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, but God also so loves you that he wants you to grow. And so God so loved you that he's allowing this tribulation to happen to you at this moment. But understand, it's not a punishment. It's not a cruelty. It's a gift of grace and mercy and love. Maybe you're going to have a hard time struggling with that. Reread this passage. Ask the Lord to speak to you in whatever. Take your problem right now to the altar and lay it at his feet. In context of what we just talked about, there is reason for biblical suffering. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Even though it's hard, even though sometimes we don't receive it well because we just want the pain to go away, and the pain is very real. The suffering, the burden, the tribulation is very real, as you know, as you went through it. But Lord, we ask that we just take that right now, whatever it is, and we lay it at your feet. We say, Lord, this is just too heavy. It's too heavy to carry. Lord, I ask you to come alongside and lift it with me. Help me see your mercy and your comfort in this situation. Lord, help me see why I'm going through this. And that at the end, I'll give you praise and I'll give you grace or thanksgiving. And I'll give it to you as we go through it, Lord. Lord, I just ask that we move, that you move mightily this morning. I can't imagine to even step in the shoes of anybody going through something right now and what they're going through. I can't pretend to understand. But Lord, I know that you've always been there for me. And you've been there in our past things. And so as I'm standing up on the cliff of my burden, I'm looking down and I see you and you got me. Lord, I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.